And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and speaking of gateway, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, who has brought along a couple of very special guests, whom we're excited to introduce to you in just a moment. We'll get to that shortly, but first, President Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg, and a good morning to you as well. I'm finding it hard to believe that we're midway through July already. It seems like I was gearing up for the 4th of July, and now we're already gearing up for the start of our semester.
It flies by, doesn't it?
Yes.
Is the summer feel like time off for you at all, or not really?
Not necessarily time off. I do appreciate the opportunity to spend more time outside on our campuses. Otherwise, you know, in the winter, we're just driving to campus and running in the building. This way, we get to appreciate the grounds that we have here, and they're beautiful, our arboretum and our outdoor gardens, and you know, the work that our students do in our urban farming program and planting the gardens. And, you know, that's always an exciting part of our day. And our campuses are just beautifully located. If the Racine campus is right on the shores of Lake Michigan. So when I go there now, I try to take a little extra time to appreciate the water. And our Elkhorn campus has a beautiful prairie with a walking path around it. And I try to walk the path if I can. And, of course, right here in Kenosha, there's so many activities. Last week, in fact, we cut the ribbon on the new nature walking trail behind the Center for Sustainable Living, and I was really pleased to be part of that. We had 40 kids from Every Child's Place come in, so we had lots of little kids around, and it's about a quarter-mile path through a prairie, and they have a chance at five different stations to learn about bugs and trees and butterflies, and I learned a lot on that trail.
That's what it's all about. I know that you're excited about some events and visits that are coming up related to some of Gateway's industrial partners. And my word, that makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It really does. And we continue to grow those partnerships. You know, we've mentioned it so many times on this program about the great support we have from our local businesses. And every time we think we're, you know, just about ready to launch a new idea, we have four more new ideas coming through from our business partners. But just recently, in fact, I was in the state of Indiana attending a national conference for the Manufacturing Skill Standards Organization. And I didn't realize this, but they presented us an award at that event because Gateway was the first two-year college in America to surpass 1,000 industry credentials in the area of manufacturing.
So, wow.
We're the first two-year college to receive the MSSC award for credentialing, and I'm very proud of that because that really demonstrates the alignment of our programs with the expectations of industry. That industry certification is so critical, and I try to remind our students that one of the keys to success in the job market is to differentiate yourself in some way. And if 50 people go for a job interview that already have the same associate degree with you, what are you going to tell your employer that makes you a little bit different and maybe have demonstrated a little bit more commitment to the profession? And a lot of times industry certifications will do that. So that was quite thrilling.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop. I mean, this week, in fact, on campus, we are hosting the National Coalition of Certification Centers. We call it NC3 for short. Their national training. So we have instructors from all over the country on campus being certified by Train Corporation and HVAC, by Snap-on and the many different platforms of diagnostics that they have. And on the 16th of this week, we will announce a new partnership with Chrysler Corporation called the Mopar Cap Local. And Gateway has piloted this program for over a year. And now Chrysler has adopted it and has made Gateway their flagship center. And we've done a lot of remodeling with the Horizon Center. It's beautiful. I hope all of our community can come out and see that at some point. But like I said, on the 16th, folks from Detroit will be here, along with 400 other representatives, including the Assistant Secretary for Labor out of Washington and the Assistant Secretary for Education out of Washington. They'll both be here celebrating this new certification program that Chrysler is implementing to help address the skilled technician shortage in the automotive industry, partnered with Gateway, partnered with NC3. We will then begin training the following week with instructors from around the country with the intent to have 10 schools up and running by October, 10 more by December, until we reach 100 schools and 1,000 technicians.
Wow.
So big job ahead of us, but wow, what a great place to be right here at Gateway.
Exciting, exciting.
It really is.
That blends beautifully into a conversation we just had on the morning show, talking about the need for more well-trained auto technicians.
Right. So. I was reminding a group, we hosted a meeting of auto dealer principals. So these are the top dealers in the area from Chicago to Green Bay. And we had the 25 top dealers with us. And they expressed the desperate need, 365 openings right now as auto technician. So there are really good job opportunities. And today's world, people just, I know they realize it, but the cars are so sophisticated and so different that when you think of training, a lot of times people have this mindset, well, we must open the hood and look under the, you know, tighten some wrench and tighten some bolts or something. But it's not how it works anymore. Now it's all computer animation or automation. So you plug a computer in, it's called a diagnostics tool, and you try to analyze what's going on with that computer inside the engine. Mm. And then once you can diagnose what's wrong, then you can begin to do the repair in the car. So it's very high tech, very creative, a great career path. Anyone that's interested in being, you know, motivated and excited about their future life's work, the automotive and transportation industry in general certainly has a lot of opportunities.
Mm, exciting stuff. Well, I know you're very excited about the two guests who are joining us, both for the first time on the morning show. One, a Gateway staff person, and someone else who is a student. And I know you're very excited to share them with the listeners.
Yeah, you know, the only thing we have is radio, but I wish people could see my smile right now because they are two superstars in my world. And they've just been so grateful and helpful and helping us share this positive message about Gateway and the impact that it has on the lives of our students. So today we're going to spend some time talking about that impact on students and then transition into what that means for our community. So we've got some really unique opportunities this morning. But Zaida Hernandez-Ierson is our ambassador for Gateway and just a great spokesperson and champion. She has spoken at more events, probably as many as I have been at in the last few months because she's went to our graduation. She spoke at our Yoplita Day. She spoke at a lot of different events to try to help young people understand what opportunities are available. And then, of course, leading that effort, we have to have great staff in order to make all this happen. Lindsay Cosman is with us, and Lindsay is our student life coordinator and just a remarkable young person that really helps to build a student life component to the technical training that we provide at Gateway. So we're all familiar with let's get the skills to get a job, but we know that college is a lot more than that. So let's build a student life experience and make sure that our students are engaged in community activities and leadership activities as well as becoming productive employees.
Excellent. We want to welcome both of you, Zaida Hernandez and Lindsay Kosman. We're glad that you're both here. It's great.
Thank you.
Lindsay,
thank
let's
you.
Start with you. You're a student life coordinator here at Gateway, and so you are the coordinator of this District Star Ambassador Program, of which Zaida is the current ambassador. Tell us first a little bit about yourself and maybe a little more about all the responsibilities you have here at Gateway.
Sure. Thank you for having me today. So as the student life coordinator, I'm primarily responsible for our Kenosha and Racine campuses with support to our Elkhorn and Burlington Center. So with that, I'm responsible for developing and coordinating all aspects within the district life student program. So I provide leadership to faculty advisors as well as student leaders in the various organizations. And with that, I'm responsible for coordinating campus activities that promote college engagement, diversity, and inclusion. And usually when I meet new people on and off campus, I introduce myself as being the individual who gets to plan all the fun at Gateway Technical College.
So, all the fun.
Yes, it's a great position, and I'm really happy to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm often jealous because when I go on campus, I get a chance to see all of the great things that are happening. And Lindsay's at all the events, you know, and it does look like a really fun job. But I know it's hard work, too, because a lot of different interests to try to manage and balance. And I know there's a process that students go through to help identify what activities are going to take place. And ultimately, someone needs to make the decision and put all the plans in place. And you do a great job with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Great to have you here. So Zaida Hernandez, our District Star Ambassador, let's find out a little bit about you and what you're studying here at Gateway.
Well, thank you for having me again. Mm-hmm. Well, my name is Zaida Hernandez again, and I'm originally from Mexico. Mm-hmm. I moved here 12 years ago, so I started part of my middle school years here and completed my high school years. So I joined the Gateway Technical College family 5 years ago when I graduated from high school.
High school did you go to?
I went to Indian Trail Academy.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yes, so right here in town. So when I graduated, I knew I wanted to be an engineer. But I also knew when I moved here, I didn't know any English, that I needed to improve it. So that's when Gatewood Technical College step into my life. I found out they had an English language learner program for adults. So what that means, they have a level 1 through 6, and then you take a test and they place you where you belong, and they teach you all of the English skills, writing, understanding, speaking, presenting. They help you with all of that. So 2 years after that, I graduated. But at the same time, I realized that I needed a skill to find a job. That's when I decided to get a technical diploma, and I started the barber and cosmetology technical degree here at Gateway Technical College in the Racine campus. I started that at the same time as an English language learner program. So 2 years after that, I graduated from both programs. And throughout that time, I realized that Gateway Technical College had a 2+2 transfer agreement with MSOE and Marquette for their engineering programs. So it was a no-brainer to stay here. Hmm. Once I finished my two programs, the following fall, I started the biomedical engineering technology program and the electrical engineering technology program Gateway offers in one of their Sturtevant campuses. So right now, 2 years later, I just graduated in May from the biomedical engineering program and in December from the electrical engineering program. And next year fall, I will start Milwaukee School of Engineering to complete my bachelor's degree.
Wow.
You can tell I am so proud, and what a great story. Zaida's been so committed to her educational path and really has stuck through it and is really a great case study for what Gateway can provide for individuals within our community. English language learner, diploma programs, degree programs, and now off to a baccalaureate degree program. I could not be more proud of Zaida and her work that she's accomplished already.
That's great. So we, of course, want to congratulate you again on being named District Star Ambassador. Tell us, first of all, how did you get the news?
I was actually nominated by one of my engineering professors. I applied to go to a study abroad program, and for that, I had to do a presentation. And once I was done with the presentation, that professor was there being a judge, and he stepped outside, and he's like, Zaida, you're too comfortable speaking in a classroom setting. I'm like, that's good, right? And he smiled. He's like, yes, but it's not enough. I know you have a lot of potential, so I'm going to nominate you for this award. It's called Star Ambassador. And I'm like, all right. So if somebody believes in me, then I'm just going to go ahead and do it because they see something in me. So I did it, and this took place in February, the Star Ambassador ceremony. What you do is you give a 5-minute speech about yourself, how Gateway has impacted you in your current life, and how you plan to share your story. So after that, one of my family members were there, and one of my English teachers, she was there from Gateway, who nominated me as well the same year. And I went in, I just, you know, share my story, what I just shared with you guys, and I was competing for the Kenosha Ambassador. So each campus has one ambassador. Once I opened up the booklet, it had the pictures. There was about 9 people competing from Kenosha. So my family's like, you know, it's okay if you win, but if you lose, it's also okay because you're already an ambassador for your school, regardless if you win or not.
Oh.
So ceremony starts. They announce Elkhorn first, and then Kenosha was after that, and they name me. And I was so shocked. I'm like, oh, my God. Why would they pick someone whose English is not as proficient as others, who, you know, I'm really busy with school, and I don't know. I didn't feel worthy of the title, but I'm like, okay. They saw something in me again, so I went up there, received the award, and then they named Racine. What I didn't prepare myself was for the district ambassador. Once they picked the 3 campus ambassadors, out of those 3, they pick a district ambassador who represent the college at a state level. So once again, they're talking about the district ambassador and the roles for it. And they're like, well, instead of saying the name, her name, because all of us were girls, 3 girls are the ambassadors, how about if we see her speech? Because they recorded every speech.
Mm.
And my face was up there in the projector again. So my family couldn't believe it. my teachers couldn't believe it. It was just unbelievable. And
wow.
I had to go up there and give a speech, and I told everybody, I didn't prepare myself for this. I was running for Kenosha Ambassador. I didn't know District Ambassador was even a possibility. And here I am getting this award and this title and this honor of being an ambassador. And it was It was such an experience that day. I had left that event, and I'm in the car sitting there like, I can't believe this.
Mm, that's so cool.
That this just happened, but.
Wow, exciting.
That is very cool. I mean, I'm excited right now just listening to the story again because it really, really demonstrates sort of the relationship that instructors can build and help instill confidence in students. So that very first engineering instructor must be so proud of you to say, let's see if we can get you some experience outside the classroom. And here you are, you know, on the radio today, but speaking all over the state.
It's definitely. Really
so explain what your responsibilities are then as District Gateway Ambassador.
Well, my responsibilities, one of my first responsibilities was go to Madison and represent the college in a conference for all of the technical colleges in Wisconsin. I had to share my story there, and I had some motivational meetings with these star ambassadors for the other technical colleges. After that, I realized that it was going to be a big role in the community. So I started attending events. They contact me. I go talk to different events. I go into classrooms. I go into classes, especially English classes. I go back and share my story with students, motivate them that, you know, learning English is a big step, but there's bigger steps ahead of you, like, and Gateway's here for you. We have technical diplomas. I just share about the school. I go to community events and share what a great college we have right here. Sometimes we don't notice the things we have in town.
So right under our noses.
yes, definitely. So my responsibility is to share my story, share what we have, share the activities we do. I was a speaker at this one of the scholarship events where donors come in and learn about a student. Sometimes it's easier to see how a scholarship is impacting a student. Hmm. So I'm the face of the school, basically, of the college.
Very well put, and it's important. Lindsay, what in your estimation is the most important thing about even having someone like Zaida as a star ambassador? What does it mean to the school?
As you can hear from everything Zaida said, that just her success of her technical education from the English language learner to barber cosmetology, and now with her 2 degrees in engineering, it's just having those top-notch students and for other students to see that I can do this too from an actual Gateway student. And the great thing about Zaida is I also advised United Student Government, and I knew about Zaida before she even met me. And our students said, we have to get her involved. She's so involved in student clubs. And so these ambassadors are students who, when I get an email that says, do you have a student? I know I can rely on Zaida. She's going to be there. She's going to be able to tell her story. And just to have the actual proof that this technical education is paying off and the success is just so invaluable to have. And
right, and just to have somebody standing right there telling their story and telling it so well.
Yes.
Well, in such such professional manner, Zaida is a very good speaker and has a compelling story to share and is willing to share that story. And I think, you know, when you can reach in and touch people's heart and really help them understand how important education is and what it's meant to you personally, all of us have someone in our lives, and it might be ourselves, that know that there's another goal out there that we can try to help accomplish and achieve. And if we can use the leverage of each other and the leverage of the college to make that happen, we build a stronger community. So you're building community as you go alongside. That's great.
Lindsay, tell us a little bit more about some of the activities and events that go on here at Gateway that can be a really rich part of a Gateway student's life and experience. And I know you have a real hand in coordinating and planning, probably even in creating a lot of these events. What would be just a few of the most important ones you want to highlight today?
Just off the top of my head, we recently came back. Well, I came back last night from a retreat with our student government officer. So we did a lot of planning. So our school year is going to be phenomenal. I am so excited. With starting the school year, we have Gateway Days. Those are usually the first 2 days of the semester.
Oh, yeah.
And we offer some type of entertainment mixed with free food. So this year we'll have a DJ. So just making our students feel comfortable, excited to come back to school. within that first week, on Friday at the Kenosha campus, we're going to host a drive-in movie right here at the Madrigana Auditorium. Hopefully the weather is good. We'll be in the parking lot outside. You can bring a full load of cars or a carload of people, and it's free for all students and their families. And we show a family-friendly movie for our first movie, and then we have a second showing as well. So next week, our student government officers, as well as any students who attend our meeting, will vote on the movies. So next week we'll know. And we also have free popcorn, concessions. So that's usually a great way to kick off the first week of school.
Great idea.
And we've done that the past 2 years. And last year it started raining and we still held it outside. The rain held off and we had over 250 people in attendance. So this year we're looking forward to even more. We also have, so if students want to get involved, they don't know what they want to get involved with, we have a Taste of Student Life, which is like a club fair at each of our campuses, Racine, Kenosha, and Elkhorn. And at the Taste of Student Life, students get some food, they get to meet other student clubs and organizations. They also, if they visit so many tables, they get put in for a drawing. And this year we're thinking about like an iPad or something really cool like that. We also host different events like Spawn Campus. So the end of semester, students are really feeling stressed out. They can get mini massages, manicures, paraffin hand waxes. So this is usually an event that's held in the fall and spring semester that just helps students relax. We also do our Christmas event with Santa, which is huge. We usually have, I mean, a great turnout in each campus. And I could keep going on and on. A couple other things, discounted ticket sales. So if students, we just had students, they were able to purchase Summerfest tickets, and we sell them for half of what we bought them for. So it was like $8.50 a ticket, which is great. It's very affordable for students to go to. Those tickets sold out within 2 weeks. We'll probably have Fright Fest this year, maybe Nutcracker tickets. We're thinking about the Renaissance Fair, State Fair. So we always sell these at a discounted price. So if it's not here at our campus, it's close to our community that students can attend at a discounted rate. So those are just some of the events. I could keep going on and on because we did all our planning recently.
It's all up there in your head. That's wonderful. What a great
sounds array. Like sounds like the entire semester is planned out already.
It is. Now we just have to get the contracts in place and do all the collaboration pieces. So
that's really exciting because you know, students do work very hard in the classroom, and it's nice to be able to have other venues for them to reach out to, especially venues that are within our community. So they learn about our community, and I'm sure many of our students think about, well, I'm thinking about a service learning project. Maybe I could participate in one of it and helping, whether it's the movie night or, you know, one of the events that are taking place in our community. And with over 40 different student organizations, there are many options for our students to pick from.
Yes, very good.
And Zaid, you have been really busy in the classroom, obviously, but it sounds like you believe that this is an important role in a student's life to take part in events in and around the campus and out in the community.
Definitely, yes. They just impact the students. I see it from the student side and when hearing my classmates talk, how this activity is just, they're, besides from being a break from your regular routine of going to class, they help you connect with other students, students that maybe you wouldn't come across in your classes, or even students from different programs that you share common interest, and it becomes like a family, a good network of people. Like if you grew up, you know, you become friends, and you help each other through this college years. So activities like this, I've taken advantage of a lot of activities even before I was the Star Ambassador. So last year I was at the Nutcracker. I took advantage of the discounted tickets, and it's good that they offer an opportunity to do activities outside of the college. But you still see those college faculty and students there. So it's a great way to change up the routine a little bit and helps you network. So it's a great opportunity.
Well, it's exciting, and we're so glad that we can meet both of you today. Zaida Hernandez is the new District Star Ambassador here at Gateway Technical College, and congratulations again. Lindsay Kosman, Student Life Coordinator here at Gateway. Wonderful to hear about all the great things that you have planned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now for part two of today's morning show here on WGTD, and again, this is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and President Albrecht, I know you're anxious to take off on that really important theme of community involvement as we continue with the program today.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. You know, we're so fortunate to have students that are engaged in not only terrific occupational training programs, and we encourage them to work very hard on honing their skills so that they are prepared for the job market. But we also really spend a lot of time engaging our students in community involvement. And there are so many great activities throughout the year in our community, especially throughout the summer months, that oftentimes people think, oh, the campus must be closed, so students are not involved in things. But, you know, just some great examples. We have our engineering students who are helping out with the golf outing that's being sponsored by the Society for Manufacturing Engineers. Mm. We have students that participated in our open house that we held on all of our campuses. And recently we opened a new walking trail for environmental science that we had not only our students, but students from every child's place participate in. So community involvement is a critical aspect of what we believe in is well-rounded education here at the college. And the rest of the program today, we're going to be talking about some of those events, including one very exciting event called the Dragon Boat Races that are taking place on August 1st right here in Kenosha. And I'm really thrilled to have three community leaders with us today to help share a little bit more about, first of all, what are the Dragon Boat Races, and then how might someone from our community participate.
So we want to introduce our three guests for this second part of the program. One of them has been on the morning show before, Dennis DeShane, president of the Kenosha Area Conventions and Visitors Bureau. And then we're also happy to have with us in the studios Pat DeGrace and Pam DeGrace. Pat DeGrace is chair of the Dragon Boat event for the Rotary Club of Kenosha, the West Branch, and Pam DeGrace is a very busy participant. And so a warm welcome to all three of you. Good to have you here on the morning show.
Thank you.
Dennis, we should catch up after our last conversation, which was several months back. I'm sure the summer is an especially busy time for you. What kinds of things have you been busy promoting?
Yeah, summer's always a busy time of the year for us. We're leading into Taste of Wisconsin, which is a great event on our lakefront. We're also working with Grill Games. And for a complete listing of events to see and do in the Kenosha area, you can go to visitkenosha.com.
I remember a couple of summers ago I participated in the Grill Games. That was a blast. We had so much fun with that. I think the Kenosha firefighters beat out the Gateway Grillers that day. So we have been practicing for like 2 years now. We have the best burger ever that we're going to be competing against. So it was a lot of fun.
Sound pretty confident, yeah,
well,
Mr. President.
Well, I've been spending a lot of time by the grill. That's all I can say.
Ah, there you go. Dennis, is it our imagination, or is the summer when the calendar is really crowded with all kinds of fun events?
The summer's really crowded with events, but with the evolution of the Kenosha area, I mean, we pretty much have a lot going on year-round. I mean, when the students come back to school, there's lots of performances at the colleges and universities, and there's a number of winter sports activities.
Mm-hmm. I think when most of us think about summer, we're like, oh, we can take a little break and go on vacation, but really, that's your busy time. There's like, your summer's booked, isn't it?
Summer is booked for all of us at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Very busy time of the year.
Well, we're going to start with you in terms of explaining this event, which is called the Dragon Boat Races. And if no one's ever been involved in this or seen it for themselves, they probably wonder what in the world that name means. So first of all, describe what this event is, the Dragon Boat Races.
The Dragon Boat Races are over 2,500 years old. They originated in China. Our event will be August 1st, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and 20 paddlers can get together in a boat along with a drummer and a steersman, and you race approximately 300 meters on the lake. You don't have to be experienced. We'll, basically give you a couple practices to teach your team how to row, or paddle, I'm sorry. And it's just a fun event for team building and getting our families, other organizations to come out and have a good time on Lake Andrea. Hmm.
So this is something which exists in other places? I mean, it's been done other places, and it's sort of coming to Kenosha?
Yes, there's races across the state as well as the country and even around the world.
Has it ever been in Kenosha before?
This event's been in Kenosha for about 4 years, and our goal is to grow it to 100 teams.
Wow, that's terrific. That would be a lot of people coming down to the lakefront.
It sure would. It'd be, great summertime activity and great team building, not only for our, local residents, but people from around the country.
Hmm. Well, we have with us in the studios two people who have been evidently very involved in the Dragon Boat races up to now. Again, Pat and Pam DeGrace. So tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, if you have deep, long roots here in Kenosha, and the kind of things with which you've been involved over the years.
Well, we moved here in 93 due to Abbott Laboratories. I work for Abbott, and we moved from Minneapolis area to Kenosha. So we've been here, you know, quite a bit of time so far. Very involved in the community. Our kids went to school here. We have two children, Mike and Jenny. They're grown children now. They're in their 30s, and we love the community. Absolutely love the community. Not leaving. So very involved in the community as well.
And what kinds of things? What's kept you busy over the years?
I got involved with once the kids were grown, I got involved with a lot of community things. Primarily started in Rotary, Kenosha West Rotary, then Boys and Girls Club. I've been on the Chamber Board. I've been on CABA Board, Gateway Boards. So I've been very, very involved in the community, and really enjoy this community and enjoy giving back to this community. It's a great community.
I think Pat and I first met probably through the Boys and Girls Club, and since then, lots of different connections, because our focus at Gateway is to be community engaged in organizations like CABA or the Rotary or the Chamber, and all of those elements play into our focus on connecting our experiences at Gateway through our students to workforce preparation, and a lot of times it takes service organizations to do that. But he mentioned also Gateway, and I want to thank Pat here today for his service on our advisory committee, for our marketing program, and also for our foundation board. It takes a lot of volunteers in a community to support a college like Gateway.
Very good. So
I just follow him around.
That's important, too. I have a feeling you do much more than that. But so, Pat, tell us about the first time that the Dragon Boat races came. I think Dennis said it's been about 4 years that this has been happening here. Who brought it to Kenosha? For what purpose? Was it to raise funds for any particular reason or cause?
Yeah, those are good questions, Greg. The Dragon Boat Festival has been here, as Dennis said, for about 4 years, and it's on Lake Andrea, by the way. And it kind of came because the festival that was in Racine kind of fell apart due to the Rotary Club kind of imploding over in, up there. So Dennis kind of picked it up and has been trying to get this going over the last, and he's done a great job of establishing the festival here. Kenosha West got involved this year to try and give it a boost, and both Ron Stevens, another lifelong community volunteer, and I try to get this going this year. And I'm not sure we're helping Dennis as well as we thought we were going to, but we've had a lot of activities going on, and we're really trying to get it going.
Mm-hmm. It's always a big job, helping to organize a community-wide event.
Right.
I know if you just think, put in the context, okay, we're going to have a family reunion. Well, that gets bigger and bigger and bigger every time. Now you're talking about an entire community and associating with other communities and the effort to market and to promote the program. And then, of course, the days and leading up to the event, and then I'm sure that particular day is a very long day for all the volunteers.
It is.
And is this a fundraiser for anything in particular?
Yep. I'm sorry I didn't answer that question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kenosha West Rotary Foundation gives the community back around $20,000 a year. And various charities apply through our foundation on the Kenosha West website. But we viewed this as a great opportunity to use as a fundraiser to supplement our softball tournament, which is coming up very shortly and next weekend. So not this weekend, but the following weekend. So we're looking at it as a use for, raising funds for the community to give back. And 100% of any funds, will go back to the community. Mm-hmm. In terms of the charities and Women and Children's Horizon, Boys and Girls Club, to name a couple. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that benefit from this.
So explain the name Dragon. I mean, in Dragon Boat Races, what's behind that name?
The Dragon Boat Festival is that theme is really because this, I think, originated in China, and that I don't know, dragon is a powerful thing, but the front of the boat actually has a dragon on it, and you know, so the boats are very, very colorful, and I think there are. Pam probably knows more about the boats than I do. I've only paddled once. We participated as a club, Kenosha Rotary West, in the Racine Rotary Festival when it was up there, and we had a great amount of fun. But through that, there's 12 people on a boat, 12 men and 8 women that paddle, and that's where Pam got involved, and she's become, you know, the very competitive team player and dragon boating. So maybe you want to talk about it.
It's a great exercise. I think that's what draws me into it, and it's for a good cause.
It sounds like it's a great family event. I mean, the dragons alone would be cool for kids to see, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we actually have club memberships, so for $50. It's such a bargain in Racine, the Dragon Boat Club. You can practice every week and never even be in a race if you don't want to.
Sure, it's probably something like people, I mean, there's a sailboat club, and so sure. Why not a paddling club,
It's a
right?
great club. It is. You won't have any fat left on you by the end of summer.
Where do I sign up?
Yeah.
It's the cheapest gym.
So how many races have you paddled then? How many dragon boat races have you paddled?
Many. I've lost count. It's been almost 10 years, so it's...
So dozens,
so
hundreds?
We may travel once a month to a race in the region. Mm-hmm. Some of our folks are in a higher level competition. They travel all over the world, and it's great. And there's camps. There's a lot involved. So we provide the paddles and the life vests for anyone who wants to come out and try it.
Hmm. It sounds like it's you can do this as seriously as you want.
Yes,
I mean,
you
it
want.
Sounds like you do this very,
sure.
very seriously and are something of an expert, but you don't have to be an expert to do this?
Absolutely not. No, we train you. We have qualified people that will take you every step of the way.
Will there be workshops or clinics going on the day of the races?
I believe it's
the
day
before.
The day before?
Yep, for anyone who's never done it, you just have to get one practice under your belt. We recommend it.
So, for instance, you'll be paddling in this upcoming...
Oh, sure, absolutely. It's a blast.
So give us some sense of the regimen that you're following, for instance, as you gear up for these upcoming races.
Well, because we try to pretend we're a little competitive, so we do work out at the gym once in a while, and take some bike rides, you know, some 40-mile bike rides, and, you know, some push-ups. So, you know, just a few things. Limber up and, you know, some jumping jacks.
So let's say you win. What do you get, like a giant paddle or what are they?
Well,
is that a trophy?
It depends on the venue. Like some places will give you a medal, and I think that's what everyone likes to collect, the medals.
So you're already part of a team. I mean, a
Correct.
Team of 20 that's regularly working out.
Yes,
then. I mean,
yes.
regularly practicing.
And a team, they could have different categories. Like you could have an all women's category. You could have a nonprofit categories. You know, there's many categories of races.
And can people still sign up for this?
Absolutely. We encourage it. We could use some more teams for the August 1st race in Pleasant Prairie.
Mm-hmm. And how do they go about signing up if they're listening today?
Well, you can call Ron Stevens, 262-942-1302. That's 942-1302. You can go on the Kenosha West Rotary website, and you can sign up there, or you can go to the Pan Am DragonBoat.com.
Dennis, give us a sense of how extensive this is across the country. You mentioned that this doesn't just happen here, of course, but there are dragon boat races all over the place.
Yeah, there's probably about 8 races in Wisconsin, and then on the east and west coast, it's very popular. I've been out to Portland, Oregon, and you'll often see people paddling around there. And one of our goals here is to get some boats on Lake Andrea so that all summer long folks can go out there and train. And that's where we really think it'll be beneficial to team building, where companies can have people go out once a week and practice, that the August 1st race will be a little more exciting because people know what they're doing and, you know, true camaraderie and team building throughout the summer.
Right. Yeah, explain what else happens at the event, I mean, the day of the races, aside from the races themselves, which will be plenty exciting.
There's be music, food vendors, and our goal is to help grow the festival as we grow the teams. The more teams we get, you know, the better festival we can have. We hope to grow it to, you know, a day-and-a-half festival where we can have over 100 teams. And then also we're partnering with the Literacy Council on their Laps for Literacy event, and it'll be hosted that morning, and they'll be walking around the lake that morning along with the Dragon Boat races.
Very good. So, Pat, what are your fondest memories of your past involvement as a relative newcomer compared to your wife, and what are you most looking forward to in this upcoming Dragon Boat race?
Well, we had a great time when we first did it. I can remember that was my first volunteer act as a new Rotary Club member, and when they came to ask us if we wanted to participate, I raised my hand and said, okay, I'll organize it. And the fondest memory I have is that I think the smallest person in the boat might have been 300 pounds, maybe, you know. when I said we had critical mass, we had about an inch of freeboard over the boat when we got everybody in. We had guys like Larry Rash and Wally Graffin and Ron Stevens and myself and Mark Hugick. We had some huge people in there, all very strong men. And then, of course, we had Pam and a few others. Our first race, you know, was just we had about 2 inches of freeboard on the boat, and we were like paddling the submarine. But we did have a great time. It's a great opportunity for camaraderie, and I wanted to add that you don't need to ride a bike 40 miles to do this. my wife is very fit and does that. But dragon boating is really, it's a great team sport. It's a great venue for businesses that, you know, want to do team building events. And that's really what dragon boating is. It's a team event, and the key is not strength. The key is really timing and paddling in sync as a team. And so it's a great venue for team building, and that's really what we hope.
Yeah, Pat, I really appreciate that, because I think it helps to put a little bit more framework to what the event is. And size really isn't what's going to determine whether or not you can paddle fast. It's really about technique and how you cooperate and work collectively together. And so, Pam, maybe you could share just a little bit on your technique of your team. What types of things do you do to help develop that
synergy?
Well,
that would be disclosing some of our secrets.
Oh, some of your secrets. Okay.
You really want to reach. I can give you that. And you want to pay attention to who's calling the timing and basically stick together. Keep
so you have like a team captain?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And they shout out what we're doing. And we all want to be doing it together.
So if a group of people want to do this, what is the means by which they learn how to do it? I mean, they obviously don't show up on August 1st magically able to do this without probably hurting themselves and or the boat. I mean,
if you contact the Racine Dragon Boat Club, they have a website, you can come up and try it. We'll help you with that. You know, they'll give you the dates if you contact someone on the website.
The dates for what?
When we have boats in the water that you can show up in times. It's usually like Monday through Thursday around 6 p.m.
So it's really a community building effort. You know, you kind of gather your group together. You have an interest in other colleagues and they become friends, and you build a team.
Teenagers have sometimes pulled like a high school team together, or college groups have done it. There's all ages. I think it's from 14 up.
That's neat.
Yeah. Very good. So is this already, I mean, it's happened more than once. Is this already kind of an ongoing annual event, or is that still sort of in the works?
No, it's an annual event. We'd like to, you know, build it from, you know, the 10 to 15 teams that we have had to, you know, 100 teams. And we think that the lake is such a great place for this, because it's a very safe and, you know, and protected environment there. so you don't have the great big rolling waves coming off of Lake Michigan that can swamp you. You really have a very safe venue. We think that, you know, they will, the Pan Am team that brings the boats to us, they will actually do a major race there, you know, so we could have, you know, 100 teams there racing dragon boats across the lake, and it's just, it's a perfect venue for it.
So these are, a lot of these teams are coming from out of town and are similarly expert, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some very professional teams.
Now, is everybody just competing against everybody else, or is there sort of a professional class and then an amateur class?
The more teams you have, the more categories you can have.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So we'd be in a lower category, Greg?
No kidding.
But I'm interested in knowing just a little bit more about the actual day of the race. So is it like softball tournaments where it's a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket and you kind of compete and go forward? And then how far is the actual race? Are we paddling for a quarter mile, or how long will it take to run a race?
Yeah, the races start at 9 and usually end around 4 p.m. The course itself is 300 meters long, and everybody races an initial race. There's usually 3 or 4 lanes of racing, and everyone gets a time. And then based on your time, they'll bracket the teams out so you're competing against like teams. And then after that, it's kind of your traditional bracket where, you know, the winners move forward and the losers move back, and you're guaranteed 3 races a day. And the nice thing, too, about teams, and especially the new ones, is when you sign up, you get 2 practices, and there'll be practice sessions Monday through Friday the week before the race from 4 to 7 p.m. on Lake Andrea. So you can sign your team up for 2 practices. I highly encourage that, especially if you're new to the sport, because, you know, they really do make a difference in your performance, mm-hmm. those practices.
Is there a cost for a team to register?
There is, and I believe it's $975 for a corporate team, $750 for a club or community team. And if you break that out over, you know, 22 people, you know, it's a nice day of family fun or, you know, team fun with your coworkers.
If people want more information, Dennis, about this event, what's the best way for them to go about doing that?
I would encourage folks to go to RotaryWestKenosha.org or visit Kenosha.com. You'll be able to find more information on, you know, the event itself and how to register at those sites.
All right.
If nothing else, spend a day August 1st out at Lake Andrea and just really enjoy the experience. Observe the racers and grab a broad or a hot dog and cheer all of your colleagues and friends on, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll be a great day on the lake.
Absolutely, Lake Andrea. Well, Dennis, Pam, and Pat, we appreciate all of you joining us today on the morning show. We hope August 1st is a great success for everybody involved, okay?
Thank you.
And President Brian Albrecht, always good to see you.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Greg Reberg. Coming up on 8:59 here at WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio, we'll be joining Wisconsin Public Radio for their classical music programming at 9 o'clock. But between now and then, we can give you some weather details. Should be a grand day today. The National Weather Service forecast calls for a sunny and pleasant Wednesday, a high of 72. Perspective on that number, normal high this time of year would be 80. The record high was 96 degrees. We hit that on July 15th, back in 1931. Tonight, then, a cloudy sky, mild conditions, overnight low 55. Tomorrow looks like it could be a rainy day. There is a 60% chance of rain with a cloudy sky. That's for Thursday. And then Friday, hot, humid, 40% chance of rain. Friday's high 89, heat index readings near 96 in the afternoon. Currently 61 degrees Racine, 63 Kenosha, 58 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Coming up at 9 o'clock, this is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, NPR News and Classic.